climate chaos is not a problem to be solved or fought, but a predicament that we can only respond to. The root cause of our predicament, estrangement from the embodied experience of intimate connection with all life, with other humans, and with ourselves.
Crazy heat struck California again in early September after a summer of punishing heat waves all across the Northern Hemisphere. Think of that, right around the world. How can we handle knowing extreme weather is only going to get worse? How do we go forward into a more hostile future? Science is not enough. We turn now to former psychotherapist and professor of psychology, Carolyn Baker. Carolyn runs a daily newsletter, and it is a source for Radio EcoShock and many other people. In addition to her online workshops and counseling, Baker is author of more than a dozen books, including Navigating the Coming Chaos. Her latest book is Undaunted, Living Fiercely into Climate Meltdown in an Authoritarian World. From Boulder, Colorado, Carolyn Baker, a warm welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, Alex. It's really good to be back talking with you. I love your program, and I'm always honored to be on it.
Well, thank you. Have you ever seen a summer like this with global heat waves, floods, and drought? What does it tell us?
Well, it tells us that we're being smacked upside the head by climate catastrophe. It tells us that we can no longer deny the reality of climate catastrophe. And it tells us that we need to prepare ourselves emotionally and spiritually for this to get worse every year, or maybe even more often than every year. We had here in Colorado on December 30th, in the middle of winter, we had terrible fires that took out 1,200 homes. And that is the most unprecedented kind of weather that we've ever had here. And I suspect we're going to see this kind of thing happening everywhere.
Yes, I'm afraid that's true. We certainly had our fires and smoke last year in British Columbia, but this year we've sort of had a bit of a summer off. Now, in your book, you talk about living fiercely, and that sounds like a possibility of rage or even violence. Could you talk about what you really mean?
Well, fiercely just means, from my perspective, just means passionately. And it doesn't mean angrily. It doesn't mean like we're out to rage at anyone. It just means that there is passion, that we're not defeated by all of this, that we are not walking around with a sense of, you know, either I'm going to just think about ending it all because there's no hope and there's no point in staying around, or becoming a couch potato and just constantly distracting ourselves. Fiercely is a place in between where we are looking in a very clear-eyed manner at our predicaments, but we're not responding with despair or distraction.
So you don't think humanity will be able to solve climate change?
Absolutely not. I believe that there are ways that we can mitigate it and make it a little less severe in certain ways. But absolutely, this is unfixable. We are well past the point of no return.
And we have enough science to know humanity and all living things are in deep trouble. Some people respond with denial, but others do look to psychology or spirituality for personal answers. If we are science-minded, should we resist that?
Absolutely not. This goes to the basic reality of right brain and left brain. Science can answer certain questions for us, and it is certainly showing us the stark reality of climate chaos and potential climate catastrophe. We must learn the science. We must know what's going on. And then what do we do with the horrible information? Again, do we distract ourselves? Do we take lots of drugs? Do we drink more? Do we fall down into despair? How do we respond? And that's what fiercely actually means. It means looking at this very clearly, looking at the science, knowing exactly where this is going, and at the same time being able to prepare ourselves emotionally and tapping into spiritual connections that are meaningful for us. Now, that varies from person to person. Some people experience deep spiritual connection by going deep into nature and really being contemplative in a quiet place, such as nature. Other people, express it in other ways. But certainly anything that brings meaning, and I think that's the key word, meaning and purpose to our lives, that is what we need to be focusing on right now.
Yes. I wonder if you could talk to us about the difference between being a doomer and a post-doomer.
Yeah, I'll do my best. The person who really explains that well is Michael Dowd, as I'm sure you know. A doomer is a person who is studying and looking at climate change and all of the symptoms of the collapse of industrial civilization, and perhaps feeling desperate, not knowing what to do, maybe feeling angry and bitter, maybe staying stoned or staying, mood altered all of the time in order to cope, maybe out there trying to wake everybody up and make them see so that they'll be prepared, but not really accepting that this is where we're going, where we already are. A post-doomer is a person who says, this is happening, and it's terrible, it's horrifying, it's painful, it pisses me off, I'm scared, I feel all of these emotions, and I am in a place of accepting that this is happening. And I think there has to be some sort of turning point for us to move, and I think it's a gradual move, usually, from a place of doom to post-doom. It's like, okay, this is happening. It's a predicament that cannot be solved. And so what do I need to prepare myself and those around me that I care about for what is coming forth, what we're going into, and how do I find meaning and purpose and community and caring with others who are awake to our predicament?
Have psychological professionals caught up with the need to help people with climate anxiety?
Some have. Not as many as we need to catch up with this. It's, in some places it's still being pathologized, like, well, you shouldn't worry about this so much. Where does this come from? From your childhood trauma or, some other place? But for the most part, I think that many, many clinicians are now moving into realizing what's actually going on out there in the environment and how that affects their clients. And I think this is increasing around the country and around the world.
Carolyn, I can't help but notice the words authoritarian world in your new book title. Why go there, and how does that relate to the problems we're talking about?
Why go there is that in an authoritarian world, in authoritarian countries, there is very little attention paid to climate chaos. In fact, it's usually denied and used in an opportunistic way. If we can deny it and say it's not happening, then we can exploit the climate even more. We can increase our profits. And we can make the environment even worse than it already is. And if people are preoccupied with the environment, they're not preoccupied with being good citizens, following orders. It's just another thing that is, associated with the liberal left. And we want to keep everything in line. And that's one reason I have a whole chapter on how corporations in an authoritarian world actually profit from all of this. It is to the advantage of authoritarian governments to deny climate change and exploit it to the max.
But how can anybody prepare for the chaos that we do see developing? Do we need to become sort of mental preppers?
I think so, mental and emotional. The very first chapter in my book is called Emotions Are Allies, Not Enemies. And so doing inner emotional work, becoming comfortable with all of our emotions and talking about them with others as it is appropriate, becoming comfortable with our anxiety and taking good care of ourselves emotionally and physically is really, really important and challenging, you know, because one of the things that we're seeing now worldwide is that our personal traumas are getting stirred and erupting around the climate situation. Climate is stirring the pot of our individual traumas. And so the two are connected. And that's why we need to do deep inner work. We need to become familiar with our emotions. We need to talk with other people who understand what this is about. And we need to have communities of caring. I don't mean intentional communities necessarily, but places where we can talk about these things with each other. And so I appreciate the work of Michael Dowd because he's constantly making a place on YouTube for discussion around this and encouraging people to set up their own small groups in their communities or online with others who understand what is happening and can read the tea leaves.
You and others talk about the possibility of human extinction, and we do know scientifically humans will eventually go extinct because all complex species do. But despite everything that you and I know about climate change that we learn on this program, I personally do not expect humans to go extinct anytime soon. In fact, not for a very long time. We're very adaptable. We're tough. I think we may go back to cave people, but some of us will be around. Do we disagree on that?
No. And I think that even if there is a massive extinction event or several of them, that there will be pockets of humans remaining. And I'm not sure where or how. I'm not sure, and I'd be very curious to know what kind of people they will be after they have survived something like this terrible catastrophe and these, you know, potential extinction events. So, no, I am not with those who are saying that everything is going extinct and this will just be a planet of dirt and radiation and all life will be gone from it anytime soon.
We've talked about emotions here, and I have to say some of us are feeling bitter. I mean, why did leaders and people not listen to the warnings years ago? Why are humans still seemingly willing to sacrifice their own future and their young to buy more things? How does a person get past that anger as climate disasters pile up one on another?
Well, I don't know that you ever get completely past it or that you should get completely past it, but you cannot be walking around obsessing about this and blaming people, because if you're doing that, you're not really moving into acceptance and you're not really being of service. That's a huge part of the preparation. Not only processing your feelings about it and supporting each other, but also what, you know, this question is constantly haunting me, and it's going to be the topic of a webinar and a discussion group on the Undaunted book that my colleague Eric Garza and I are planning this fall. The question is, what is this crisis asking of me? How can I be of service? How can I use my talents and skills to make life better for certain living beings that I feel called to help? I can't save them. I can't stop this catastrophe, but I can make some lives, including my own, better. So what is there for me to do, and how should I proceed in doing that? Because carrying around only the bitterness is a clear indication that we're not living in acceptance and we're not doing what we need to be doing.
And people can tune into those efforts at carolynbaker.net.
That's correct, and you could also subscribe to my daily news digest, as you do, Alex. If you go to carolynbaker.net, you can just click on subscribe and go from there.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website.
We're at ecoshock.org.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with our guest, former psychologist, author, and post-doom counselor, I guess we could say, Carolyn Baker. We are discussing her latest book, Undaunted, Living Fiercely into Climate Meltdown in an Authoritarian World. Carolyn, you know better than most the work of Swiss psychologist Carl Jung. How would you describe the shadow, and does that manifest in these times of ecological and social collapse?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing an eruption of the shadow going wild. The shadow is any part of us that we send away in order to survive. So as children, you know, we send away qualities in ourselves that others don't like or don't approve of. They could be negative qualities. They can be positive qualities. But we send those away. And they don't go away. They just kind of get stuffed into the back door of the psyche. And if we don't deal with that shadow, eventually it erupts, as we're seeing right now all around us. I wrote a book in 2015 called Dark Gold, The Human Shadow and the Global Crisis, in which I go into this much more deeply. But what we're seeing right now, this resistance to democracy, this attraction to fascism, this destruction of the environment, all of these negative qualities are aspects of the human shadow. And that's another chapter that I have in my book is, how do we look at our own shadows and stop projecting them on other people? Jung said on a couple of occasions, figure out what it is that you don't like in someone else. And the reason that you don't understand that the reason you don't like that in somebody else is because it's also a reflection of you. What part of you is like that, that you are projecting like a movie projector onto somebody else? And so shadow work is really an important part of the emotional and spiritual work and preparation that we all need to be doing.
Well, that's one of the things I really liked about this new book, because instead of telling people how to deal with all those other crazy people who just won't listen to the truth, you say, well, it all begins with ourselves, and that's where we have to begin our work. And your books are stuffed with useful quotes that made me pause and think. With mystics and with Buddhist quotes that I wouldn't have seen. And I know you're a fan of the medieval Arabic poet Rumi. But, you know, I have to say, in a world trying to awaken from a long period, almost a slumber of religion, we're now using science. Why would we go back and trust these ancient sages?
Because science is not enough. We're living with terrible uncertainty right now, and I have a chapter in the book called The Limits of the Rational Mind and the Human Ego. The rational mind and the human ego have participated in getting us where we are now. I'm not putting down the rational mind, and we all need an ego in order to just navigate in the world. But we have become rational-minded people off the charts, egoic off the charts, and we've lost sight of that deeper meaning, that deeper self within us. And unless we do our work of connecting with that and integrating that into who we are and what we do, we're just going to do more of the same. If science were enough, it would have saved us. Obviously, it hasn't. Science cannot prepare us emotionally and spiritually for what is unfolding in front of our very eyes, for potential extinction, for increasing Arctic ice melt, increasing drought and fires and catastrophe. We have to weigh that human beings crave ways to cope with this, ways to make peace with this in their own hearts, and ways to support each other in doing so. That's part of our humanity. Science and the rational mind are only one piece.
Yes, I loved your work about trying to live with uncertainty. I mean, we don't know what the stock market's going to do. We don't know if our jobs are going to hold up. What's going on with this pandemic, the climate change. As a gardener, we didn't have spring until the end of June, and then, I don't know. We don't know whether hail is coming the next day. Can a person still be happy and balanced and productive when the rest of the world is so shaky?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I admire about Jung, whom you mentioned a while ago, is his notion of holding the tension of opposites. So that on the one hand, the world is shaky, the economic situation is uncertain, the environment is off the charts, unpredictable and horrifying in many places. We've got two-thirds of a country of Pakistan underwater, and tremendous loss of life, both human and other forms of life. Yes, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, we can do the emotional work that I'm talking about, deepen our spiritual connection, whatever that looks like for us, work in our gardens, do satisfying work in the world, serve other people, and use our talents and skills to make life better for living beings. We can do both. And that doesn't mean that we're going to 24 hours a day feel just one thing. You know, oh, wow, now I feel grounded. I'm doing this work that I love. I don't really feel the pain of the rest of the world. That's not going to happen. Not if we're really doing our inner work. We're going to feel compassion and caring for the rest of the world that is suffering. So we go back and forth, and we feel a tension between the suffering of the world and the fulfilling aspects of our own life. And what Jung talked about is holding that tension. And that's a big job, holding that in our bodies. You know, Mary Oliver, the poet, says, "We shake with grief, we shake with joy. What a time these two have, houses they are in the same body." So we hold the tension of the opposites as best we can. And what Jung said is that in doing that, much of the situation within us is transformed. That helps us to begin accepting, not distracting from, but accepting the collapse and the predicament of our world.
Tell us about your webinars and other ways that people can connect as they struggle with this harsh climate truth.
Well, I've already mentioned the Daily News Digest. And by the way, at the end of every digest, there's an inspiration section. It's not a section of, oh, everything's going to be okay, you're just fine, don't fret. No, it's a section of articles or sometimes podcasts that help people center themselves, hold the attention of the opposites, serve others, and do the inner work that I'm talking about. So there's that. And the other part is the webinar that we've been discussing. If you go to my website, carolynbaker.net, you will see on the homepage that my colleague Eric Garza and I from the Quillwood Academy are offering a free webinar on September 15th and on September 22nd. This is in preparation for a six-week study group on Undaunted that we are going to be doing together. So if you go to my website, all of the information, registration, format, and everything is right there for you.
From Boulder, Colorado, we've been speaking with author, psychologist, and global witness Carolyn Baker. You can grab any of Carolyn's tools, as she's talked about, at carolynbaker.net. And as always, I will add a few links in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org as well. Carolyn, you know, talking with you seems like a therapy session in itself. Thank you for helping us on Radio EcoShock.
You're very welcome, Alex. Thank you for having me.
I'm Alex Smith. During the climate emergency, please tune in to Radio EcoShock. Find more links and comments in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring about our world.